Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Craig Melvin, co-host of NBC's Today Show, has a new book out, perfect for Father's Day, called Pops, Learning to Be a Son and a Father. For Craig, this book is more an investigation than a memoir. It's an opportunity to better understand his father, to interrogate his family's legacy of addiction and despair, but also transformation and redemption, and to explore the challenges facing all dads, including Craig himself, a father of two young children. And to talk about that journey is Today Show's Craig Melvin. Craig, welcome in.
Dave, how are you?
I am great. I have to tell you, this book really sends a powerful message, not only, something that your children will read one day, but to anyone who has had struggles with a parent, a partner, which we all have, by the way.
Dave, that's one of the major reasons I wrote the book, was to help folks who are either struggling mightily or with addiction, or families that have someone who's struggling. Because, for us, for me and my family, for years, we didn't know what to do. We sort of wrote off our dad as a drunk, who was lazy, who, if he really wanted to, could get the demon off of his back. And as the saying goes, when you know better, you do better.
Right.
And as I came to understand addiction a little bit better, and our family did as well, we came to understand that the dad had a disease, he had a sickness, and we had to get him some treatment for his sickness. But it didn't stick at first. I mean, we had to stage a couple of interventions, and finally, in 2018, it stuck, and we got our dad back.
Well, you said we're capable of change. We're capable of turning our lives around even later in life. I want them to know that and understand that, because you think it's an apt metaphor for life, and I think that's so true.
We are all climbing a mountain of some sort, Dave. A lot of folks don't like to talk about the mountains that they're climbing, but everyone's got a struggle or struggles of some sort. And it's important for my children to understand that. One of my great fears as a parent is that my children won't be resilient. They won't know how to get over that speed bump or that roadblock, those obstacles that invariably pop up in our lives. I want them to know that not only can they do that, can they overcome, but their grandfather did. And he did it in his late 60s, when most people are pretty set in their ways. They are who they are going to be.
This book is for people who have ever come close to giving up on someone they care about. It really is. And even though it says it's for fathers and sons, it's for moms. It's a book about relationships. And that's what I love about this. But the most cathartic thing you wrote that really brought you into this story, you write, "My father was born in 1950 in a federal prison in West Virginia. And that was a very heavy burden to carry into life, but he never talked about it, not for decades, until you, Craig, were 41, when you sat down and wrote the book. And when I read that, it stopped me in my tracks. And I said to myself, everyone has a story. This one is deep."
Oh, yeah. Everyone's carrying around a bunch of baggage, Dave. But, here's the thing, and I didn't realize this, like I said, and like I wrote, until I didn't realize the ways in which being the child of a woman who had you in prison, the ways in which that shapes and molds you, you can't fully appreciate that until later in life. And beyond that, beyond being what his so-called friends back then called a jail baby, that was one of the things they would taunt him with as a young child. My dad didn't know who his own father was until he was almost a teenager. And so imagine growing up the son of imagine growing up a jail baby and not knowing who your father is, and other kids knowing that about you. You develop, perhaps unsurprisingly, you develop quite the inferiority complex, and that manifests itself in myriad ways over the course of one's life. So I didn't know that about my dad until I started working on this book, and consequently, I have come to appreciate what he had to overcome when he was younger. I've come to appreciate that exponentially more than I did, you know, 20, 25 years ago.
Why now? Like, did you explore all this? Like, as a father yourself, did you just want to heal this relationship, you know, for not only you, but your family? Were you always afraid to ask, or did you just feel like it was the right time to do this?
It was a combination of things. I do a series for Today Show called Dad's Got This, where I get the chance to crisscross the country showcasing fatherhood, introducing our audience to ordinary and in some cases extraordinary fathers. And I think once I started doing that, I developed a different appreciation for fatherhood. My kids are getting older, you know, they're now 7 and 4. The way that you view parenthood, it changes dramatically when you become a parent.
Sure does.
And then the pandemic hit, and I had a little bit more free time than I usually do. So all of those things. But the one thing that led to this more than anything else was my dad and I having conversations over the past few years. And he wanted to try and figure out a way to use his comeback story, if you will, for good. And so the stars just sort of aligned, and that's kind of how the book came to be, the impetus of it, if you will.
The multitude of addictions that crippled your dad caused decades of turmoil for everyone, and people who haven't experienced addiction in their lives or someone in their lives in some way, and even those who have, really don't understand the toll it takes on everyone surrounding them. And you had a pretty big family.
Yeah, and what also starts to happen, or at least starts to happen to my family, Dave, is you figure out ways to cope without necessarily addressing the addictions. You know, my mom, for instance, stepped up and played the role of mom and dad for a number of years. I had uncles that stepped in to fill the void of a father at different points in my life. And our family managed to get by and figure out how to basically just sort of put my dad in a corner and we could carry on with our lives. And it worked for us for years. And quite frankly, it worked for my father for years until it didn't in 2018, where his behavior and his drinking had spiraled out of control to the point where he got into a car accident, and it worried us because, you know, he was driving around drunk all the time, and our worry was that he was going to at some point hurt someone, perhaps even kill someone. So that really led to the intervention. It led to him to turning his life around. But I hope the book serves as a wake-up call to a lot of families as well, families that have done what we did, which was basically just, you know, let dad be. You know, he is who he's going to be. Let's just figure out a way to mitigate the damage.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we did.
We're talking to the Today Show's Craig Melvin. His book is Pops, Learning to Be a Son and a Father. And there's more with him next on 720 WGN. Dave Plyer back with you on 720 WGN. And we're talking to Today Show's Craig Melvin. His book is Pops, Learning to Be a Son and a Father. You shared some deep stories about your father's absence around the family, and he worked very hard. You also called that out, but also played very hard to where he was called a ghost by your friends for not being around. And, you know, you had to look outside for a fatherly role, and you said you had some uncles that stepped up, but you also found a role model by watching a very specific show on television.
Yeah, I, you know, back in the 80s, Dave, if you were a black kid in America, Heathcliff Huxtable was your role model for fatherhood. I mean, he sort of epitomized what a dad should be in my eyes, in the eyes of millions of kids in the 80s and early 90s. And the distinction is important here. Heathcliff Huxtable, not Bill Cosby. But no, you know, Dr. Huxtable had a fully functional family, multiple kids, great job, beautiful house, was cultured, appreciated jazz and the arts. And,
yeah, right.
Talked about all of those highbrow things every Thursday night. Read the newspaper, and that's kind of what I wanted as a kid. I wanted that dad, and I did not have anything close to that kind of dad for a long time. But consequently, I also came to romanticize fatherhood, and that came to be the picture of fatherhood that I painted. And you don't realize how off that is until you have your own children.
Sure.
And then, you know, you start talking to your own dad, and you realize that Dr. Heathcliff Huxtable was on television for a reason, because that's the only place a dad like that could exist.
Well, and you said being black in America, I mean, you watched the show and you looked up to the show, but I think just if you were anyone in America, this was a great family. And it's really hard, I know, for some people to separate the man behind the character, but that show really set a great tone of family for everyone. It really did.
No question. And I should have said, especially for black kids in America, because what it did do, it normalized the black family experience. You know, if you really think about it, to that point in television, there was not a show that showcased an intact black family where mom and dad both had, you know, these high-powered jobs. They were successful. They lived in New York and had this beautiful brownstone. That's just, you didn't see that on TV until 1984.
You didn't. When you opened up with this book, were you concerned at all about, you know, how colleagues are at NBC or friends would view you? Because, you know, truth be told, as we said at the beginning of the conversation, everyone has a burden that they carry and everybody has their stuff. They just don't talk about it. But this, you know, to share something like this first must have been very cathartic in a way and good therapy for you to put this together and got some things off your chest that were probably weighing heavy on you to begin with.
It was the most cathartic thing I've ever done, Dave, hands down. And it was also cathartic for my father, I found out later. I was nervous, quite nervous, actually. Anxious, even, because I'm just not a very public person. I'm a pretty private guy.
Yeah,
I don't put a lot of my business out there, and I tend to think that as a society in general, we tend to overshare. But I did. I needed to get this out of me. And I realized early on in the process that I could do that. I could sort of treat myself to a certain extent through the process of writing this. But at the same time, I could do some good.
Yeah.
So it was a win-win. But no, to your point, it was cheaper than therapy during the pandemic, for sure.
I bet. You know, and I think the good things that really came out of this, you know, when you finished the book, is that you knew all along, you know, you celebrated your mother. She was the true hero. She was everything to this family. And then really, your dad right now is trying to make up for lost time, and you are all in for that.
Hear, hear. My dad has a new lease on relationship. He is the kind of grandfather that every grandkid hopes to have. You know, he was up about 2 weeks ago and managed to come to my son's soccer game on a Saturday morning.
Nice.
And there's my boy out there in the first 30 seconds of the game, hadn't scored a goal all season. Dribble, 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 shoot. First goal of the game.
Nice.
And you would have thought that the boy had just won the Masters at Augusta.
That's great.
The way me and my dad were carrying on the sideline.
That's great. What's on your wish list for Father's Day besides a little bourbon and cigar?
A nap. I'd like a nice nap, or maybe I get to sleep in, or you know, I just want some rest, Dave. Want some nice quiet time. But I won't get that, Dave. Because
yeah.
Father's Day, my house has become just like the other 364 days on the calendar. It's about what the kids want. You know?
It's true. It's very true.
There's already some talk that that the kids want to go bowling.
Mm.
And they've convinced themselves that Daddy wants to go bowling. So
great.
There's a pretty good chance I'll be spending Father's Day at a bowling alley.
I love it. I love it. Again, a perfect Father's Day message. The Today Show's Craig Melvin. The book is Pops, Learning to Be a Son and a Father. And before I let you go, you know, you made your NBC Olympics debut, I think, in Rio back in 2016. Are you heading to Tokyo as well this summer?
I will be there, face mask and all.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't done as well vaccinating the population in Japan. There are far more restrictions there than there are here. So we're having to make some adjustments to cover the games. But I'm always excited to go and cover the Olympics, Dave. But I think this year it is going to be especially fantastic. It's going to be, I think, a global reopening of sorts, more symbolic than usual, even. It's been a long time since the people of the world have had something to celebrate together.
Craig Melvin, great book, continued success, and have a great Father's Day.
You too, Dave. Thank you so much. I enjoyed this.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.